Ramble.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey everybody, welcome to the tripod. You've got Zach, you've got
Eugene,
and behind the control panel,
it's me. Oh wait, I can hold on.
There
I am. Yeah, it's Keith. Looking good. Look at Zach. Hey Eugene. Whoa, it's crazy time.
Keith is sitting in the miles chair today. He is our engineer. What do we call it? I mean, you're the podcast.
I'm the studio engineer. I'm a studio engineer, and I gotta also be the video engineer. Yeah, I'm an engineer. You know, my dad's an engineer. My brother's an engineer. So maybe it's time I become one.
Engineer life.
Engineer life.
Miles is out for the next 2 weeks. Ned is also out. And so
for mysterious circumstances, what could it be, audience? What could it be? What could it be?
And so you just got the three best buds. Our tripod is actually now a tripod.
We did it.
Oh, yeah. Now we just lost the head.
Oh. Was Miles the head?
No, we always joked as a tripod, we're four people, so one person's the middle joint.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm like the little part in the middle of the tripod that adjusts the height of the tripod. I'm not actually a structural leg. I just kind of peek up and down.
I think Ned's the head. He certainly does all the books.
It rhymes.
If Ned left, the entire company would fall to ruin because none of us know how to balance things.
I gotta tell you, I'm very preoccupied with this camera switching, and it's very distracting for me. But we got some fun topics. Miles said he was gonna send us some fun topics. I got some fun topics. You said you had some fun topics.
I had some topics. Did Miles actually send us topics? I don't know that he did.
He said he was gonna. I chatted with him this morning because he explained to me how to use the rig.
I think he's a dirty, stinky
I also
liar.
Told him to send us some advice.
Let's see. Okay, well, wait, I got his right here.
Well, meanwhile, you guys want to talk about my new outside cat?
Yes,
let's
please.
Talk about your outside cat, because I've got a lot of feelings about your outside cat, but update the people.
You have feelings about my outside
yeah.
cat that's not even my cat yet?
Update, like, give okay. us the whole thing.
All right, so I got, we all know I have perfect Alfred. He's a beautiful mm-hmm. boy. He's a sweetheart, sweet, sweet boy. And recently, well, actually not recently, this cat has been running around our house since we moved in. And it is orange and white in a very similar pattern to Alfred. So we've always kind of joked that it was like a doppelganger to Alfred.
I'm realizing now that I was going to say that this outside cat looks like the Nega Alfred, but actually Alfred looks like the Nega outside cat.
Yeah, I did wonder if it was one of those things where, like, remember that Treehouse of Horror where there's Bart Simpson and there's the problem child in the attic, and then they realize that Bart was the evil child and he fooled them and the good child's been in the attic the whole time?
It's you mean the parody. Plot of Jordan Peele's
yeah,
house?
Yeah, uh-huh, yeah, but I saw the Simpsons episode okay. first, which All is right. normal for most children. So this cat's been running around our house all this time. And anytime we've tried to approach it, it's been afraid of us. So we're just like, stray cat. We watch him on the Ring camera run by sometimes. Like, oh, cute. And then Becky's like, oh, I want to, like, tried to call for the cat, but the cat was never interested. Until about a week ago, we saw the cat and it was like meowing like crazy outside. Also, the cat realized that Alfred lived in our house. And once the cat saw Alfred, it's like, you have a cat. You got cat food in there.
So now you think that a cat is processing information on that level and is like, oh, there's a cat in there and I'm a cat, therefore I should also be allowed?
I think yes, because it really didn't care about us until it saw Alfred and they started having meow exchanges. They started having very loud conversations in the middle of the night, typically.
But now I've heard that you and Becky have a theory that these cats just want to fuck.
Well, at first we thought that this cat was a boy for a long time. Only uh-huh. recently did we discover this cat's a girl.
And how'd you discover that?
We got close to the cat and we saw that it had a vagina instead of a penis. Right, Eugene?
Yeah, it's a good way to make it even more gross somehow.
Right, Eugene.
Eugene has to talk to that guy. I threw the camera on Eugene and said, what do you think, Eugene?
Well, I'm just thinking because I think Becky told the story on You Can Sit With Us.
Yeah, she's been updating. This is pretty redundant to our audience.
What? Well, we have totally different audiences, first of all.
What part of the story?
We have our audience and the sitters have their audience and they're not the same.
Maybe, but maybe it is an update. What's the difference? I don't know if she talked about it being a girl.
Yeah, what's happened in the 2 days since that episode
came out? In the 2 days since then, we have given the cat food a couple times and water.
Which is definitely a mistake, my dude.
Well, I know you think that, but I grew up in Tennessee when we always took in strays. It's part of the Habersburger way.
It's not a stray.
It definitely is.
I thought you guys said that it was...
We thought it was belonging to the outside. Like we thought it belonged to someone across the street because that's what a neighbor told us. But that's hearsay. And if we've learned anything this year, it's not to believe hearsay. It's to get substantial sources. And the way that I know this cat has no home that it returns to at night was that it has slept outside of our house all night for the last 3 days in different parts. And it's been chilly in LA, so we've been concerned. So last night we put out a towel and we wrapped a little like cat bed out of the towel. The cat immediately went and laid in that towel and slept there the entire night.
Meanwhile, someone's like, Sharon, have you seen our cat? It's been gone for nights.
Well, this cat ain't got no chip. It ain't got no collar because I felt it's a back. You can feel the chips.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you can really feel the chip. It's like, I don't know. It's like an inch long. Not an inch long, but half an inch. But you can feel them.
My cat was always too fat to feel the chip.
Yeah. I
didn't know that.
I tried to once the cat became friendly with us, I really manhandled the cat to try to find a chip. I was like, do you have an owner? And it was very sweet. And even yesterday I was sitting outside with it because what I've discovered is a kitty just wants some company. The cat's very meowy. But once you sit out with it, it'll just lay down next to you and chill. The cat just is lonely.
Okay, I've gone full 180. Yeah. I was ready to come in here and say, you fool, you fed someone else's cat. This cat will never leave you alone. Now I know this is a cat in need of a home. Keith, you're about to become a cat daddy. Times two.
I know. We're deciding okay, well, first, the right thing to do
You've already decided.
No, well, the right thing to do is to take it to a vet and make sure that it doesn't have a chip.
Right.
Double check that it does not have a chip and I just didn't find it. Then we have to get it checked for everything, which is going to be expensive. We got to check it for feline AIDS. We got to check it for
scabies,
heartworms, tummy worms, scurvy, ringworms, fleas, all that jazz.
Anxiety disorders,
daddy issues. But a lot of things. We got to make sure that it's a healthy cat. And even then, This motherfucker meows so loud, and I've had a meowy cat before, and I cannot go back to that. So it's probably still going to become an outside cat that we take care of. And then if we find a friend or someone who needs a cat, we'll have groomed this cat. We're sort of considering it maybe it's more of a, what's it called when you sort of have a cat, but you don't really have the cat or a dog? You keep it, instead of the vet having it, you keep it, and you make it a normal dog, and then somebody else adopts it.
Oh.
Well, it's basically when... You foster it.
Everybody, camera's foster! Going wild because we remembered what it was.
Yeah! Fostering!
I think you should get it because the name is so hilarious because you thought his name was, you named him
Bart.
So as
Like the Simpsons character that I referenced earlier. Hey!
So then as a joke, you found out he was a she, so you would name her
Barty.
I thought it was Bartha.
Well, it was Bart. It's a lot of things. Becky calls it Birdie. I call it...
You can't call it Birdie. That's Miles' new dog.
No, it's Birdie with a T.
No, you can't do that.
That's what I told Becky.
You can't do it.
Trust me.
Overruled.
I told Becky the same
thing. The podcast has decided no.
Well, she'll have to speak for herself to her audience later.
Bartha is so funny.
Bartha is funny. I also call it Barbara. I also call it Birdie.
Barbara's good. Barbs, I love okay. Barbara the cat.
And we have Alfred. You know, Alfred's already such a an old man name, so Barbara's pretty good.
Oh my God, it's like Alfie and Babs.
Babs. Oh, Babs
so cute.
Is cute.
I'm fine with Babs, but the name is Bartha.
Bartha's
Bartha.
Great.
It's Bartha. Yeah.
It's Bartha. It evolves. And in all honesty, we call Alfred a million things, so it doesn't really matter what the name is.
I call Bowie Potato.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it just matters the intonation of which you talk to the animal. That's all they're really listening to.
Yeah, it's the same with kids, right? Or grandparents. They don't have their real names. You just name them something else.
Oh, yeah. You name them Daga.
Yeah. Or Nuna.
Nunu.
Yeah.
Nunu and Papa.
Yeah. I don't think anyone calls our actual pet by their actual name.
Meeples.
What do you call your pets?
Pesto, I call Poodle. Okay. And then Kimbop, I call Kimmy.
Uh-huh.
And Emma, I call... Well, Emma, I have to call Emma. She has a lot of anxiety. I don't think she can handle being called anything else.
I call her Emmeline.
Oh, Leety. That's what we call her. Leety.
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 It's just you develop a sound and two syllables generally, and that's what you end up... It just sticks. So we're always just saying, Leety, Leety.
Well, Becky was upset with me yesterday because Bartha jumped in my lap, which is a big... Big crossing a threshold of love.
That means you've been chosen.
I have. And I was sitting with her because she just loves to like chill. She just wants company. So I'm like, okay, I can give this cat food and water and sit outside with it. And if that'll make it not meow like fucking crazy all the time, that's fine with me. It's a cute cat. It's a sweetie. And I petted the cat, and then the cat like kind of looked like she was going to jump on my lap. And I'm like, you choose wisely, kitty cat. And then it laid down for a while, and then it got up and it jumped in my lap. And it was like, be my dad.
Now,
please be my dad.
Is Becky upset because Alfred has also chosen you as his favorite?
No, I think she rightfully is like, we can't have another cat in this house. I'm like, I agree, but we can foster an outside cat and maybe find it a home at some point. And she's also like, it's hard. Your heart melts when you put out a little towel bed for the kitty, and then the kitty immediately crawls into that towel bed and just sleeps the whole night like a peaceful little angel. You're like, she just wanted a little love. She just wanted a little bed.
Well, Keith, keep us posted. I look forward to being inundated with updates on both this and You Can Sit With Us.
Well,
getting the full 360.
Look, people want to know about cats. If we do share the same audience, they're coming for the cat content.
This is not what I wish for you. However, just if I were to write the best story, first you discovered that Bart with Bartha. Next, I want you to discover that Bartha is actually Bartha Mama and is pregnant, and you just get an explosion. I just spit all over myself. I want Keith to now suddenly be saddled with 12 cats.
I don't want that. That was a lot of my childhood. I'm pretty sure this cat ain't pregnant, but I'm not sure if this cat hadn't had babies before because it has pronounced nipples, which typically... is a post mama cat
move. Mama cat.
The cat, they always have nipples, right? That's part of them. But when they're a little bit bigger, it means maybe they were used once.
I hope Barbara Bartha takes off her mask and she's actually a raccoon.
That would be thrilling. Becky definitely did see a big animal on the Ring camera once. Like, look, a big cat. I'm like, Becky,
it's a raccoon.
That's a raccoon.
Guys, I am obsessed. I love raccoons.
Me too.
I think they're so funny.
They're little bandits.
They have the weirdest little human hands.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
And they certainly are not, they're probably all feral, but there is this YouTuber that's adapted to some TikTok videos where it's a guy, an older gentleman, who goes out to his porch. He has about 100 raccoons that come to him, and each video is feeding the raccoons Miracle Whip and then feeding raccoons marshmallows. He just like shows himself feeding them different things, and they descend upon him from nowhere out of the snow, and they all just like go crazy, and he's just sitting there going, well, seems like they really like the mayonnaise. It is so charming, and I just wish I was in a pool of raccoons. I like rodents. I like all animals, but I certainly do not have an aversion to things people usually think are gross. Like, I've seen possums, which a lot of people hate, and I think they're cute.
Possums not my favorite.
They're not gross. They're just scary.
They're always pretty scary.
You never get, you
I
only
so
get
cute.
Surprise possums. It's never like, oh, hey, what's up, I'm a possum. It's always, boogadaba, I'm
in the
trash can.
They are a little boogadaba.
They are boogadaba. Once I was leaving my friend's house, and they kept their cat food for their outside cats, is Tennessee, out their front door, and I like left the front door at like 9 at night, and I opened the door, and there was just a possum, and it looked up at me, and I looked at it, and we both screamed almost almost the same exact sound. It like went, and I went, and then I ran back inside the house.
I didn't know they made that sound.
They make like
They're kind of a little screechy.
They make screams.
Yeah.
You should look up. Somebody look up a possum scream.
I also think skunks are fucking cute. I just wish they didn't stink so bad. But they are so cute. They have little legs. They waddle and they're kind of flat like a pancake.
Selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
Apes hunt humans.
That is wrong.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
All right, well, speaking of cats that can be whatever the hell they want to be, this is kind of appropriate because we're all wearing pink today.
Oh, yeah, we're pink boys.
Pink boys.
Pinky boys.
Something was going around on Twitter this week where Ben Shapiro, professional dumb fuck.
Yeah, Candace Owens first.
Well, Candace Owens,
they're
also a professional
awful
dumb fuck. They called out Harry Styles for daring to dress in a dress on the cover of Vogue. You want to help me with some context here? I believe
he's the first man to cover Vogue.
Is it? That's the verb, to cover Vogue?
To be on the cover.
Okay, I like
to cover
that.
Vogue.
I like that. I was like, that's cool.
My body's covering Vogue.
But if you haven't seen the photo shoot, I mean, they're really gorgeous photos, but he's wearing all sorts of long, flowy dresses. He's posing, and it's a really fantastic and cool photo shoot that is, you know, without a doubt, pushing the boundaries of traditionally accepted gender norms.
Mm-hmm.
But Candace Owens came out with this whole rant. Ben Shapiro piled on, the whole right-wing ass media. And they were talking about, you know, the loss of masculinity and why can't men be men. And it's just such a load of fucking bullshit and led to this whole week-long internet conversation that, frankly, I don't even want to have any part of, so I don't know why I'm bringing it up.
There's only two ways to be. You can only be two ways in this world, and that is boy look like boy, girl look like girl. That's it.
That seems to be the rhetoric
Most
people want to live by on that right side.
Yeah, it certainly seems like things get attention when a very popular white cishet man does it. And I think that that's kind of part of the issue because I really commend people like Harry Styles for putting themselves out there and styling themselves in genderqueer fashion. But I also think that they are just, you know, it becomes a lightning rod, but it also in some way, you know, two things can be true at the same time, which is I adore Harry and I think he looks amazing and I love the way his style is. But I also think that, you know, we just also are constantly erasing the very real and present trans and genderqueer and gender fluid and non-binary people who are constantly dressing this way all the time in real life, especially those of color. And it's just like, I really just don't need more like straight white people commenting on it. And I think that's kind of the problem. It's like,
and just to be clear, you're not talking about Harry commenting on it.
No. Yeah. I think Harry doing what he's doing is fantastic but the whole thing is that accrediting him with genderqueer fashion, I think, is where we start. Because everyone's just like, wow, I've never seen that before. And he's also styling the gowns with a tailored tux jacket. Like, it is somewhere in the between, which is really amazing from a fashion standpoint. But I think also on the right, people are not aware of like fashion in general, queer influence in general. Like, do you imagine how mad they'll be when they realize that queer influence for young people doesn't stop at fashion? Like, they're like, I can't believe Harry Styles wore a dress. And I'm like, your grandkids are watching so many people on social media and probably have so many friends who are like, fucking, like, whatever, mm-hmm. middle fingers to the sky, mm-hmm. don't care how I dress.
I think that this whole argument that seems to pop up seemingly every year and a half of this is what men can be and this is what men can't be is so exhaustingly stupid. And it is just echoes of echoes of echoes of the same bullshit that I've been hearing since my childhood, that other people have been hearing since the 60s and before then, and you as a queer person, quadruply so your entire life. And I'm just, can we just put it to bed once and for all? It is totally restrictive and nonsense. And if you look back hundreds of years ago, what is masculine and what is feminine has always changed. It will always continue to change. And maybe there just shouldn't even be a definition of it to begin with. It's nonsense.
What the right is doing is essentially demonizing queer people. They're mm-hmm. demonizing those who actually dress like this. It is transphobic and it's homophobic. Mm-hmm. So if you think about what they're indoctrinating, it's that it's not, oh, I'm going to be mad just because I see like a magazine cover of someone who I identify as masculine looking wearing a dress, I'm going to be mad when I see a trans person walking down the street.
Right.
I'm going to be mad when I see a group of gay people wearing things that are non-binary and I might actually attack them. Right. Like, I think that's where right when I saw that, it wasn't even like let me tell you about like how I can express my femininity. For me, it's just so dangerous. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why I didn't really want to talk about it.
Because I get that. That makes sense. That's a good point.
And that's why I couldn't even tweet about it. I was just like, everything I say, people can convolute and be like, well, what are you saying? And I'm saying, like, in the end, the people who only get hurt from this are those who
are already the most vulnerable.
Are already the most vulnerable because they are. Harry's going to be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, fair point. I applaud everyone who came to his defense because, of course, I fucking love Harry Styles. Mm. And I think he's doing amazing things in fashion. But I also think that the person who's going to be in danger are especially queer people of color who dress like this every day, who just are going to walk down the sidewalk and someone on the right is going to be like, you know what? You know what I heard? Can't wear a dress. You know what I heard? You're wearing makeup. You know? And I've been in situations, right, even in like career, where I was dressed a certain way and people just give you a look where they're like, you know, I was like denied taxi rides. You know, these are things that, you know, because I had lipstick on, because I was out with some friends. Like, it's like these things where people are like, I can exercise this and stand up for you in social media because as a straight person, I'm okay with wearing a dress. But you don't enact that in your daily life.
Right.
And I think people who are in it in their daily lives in terms of their genderqueer expression or their non-binary expression, I think it's just becoming very clear that if you don't bring them up, then people are not going to learn that the real criticism that needs to be had is that we can't always center the conversation around people who are not actually in danger.
I think that's a great point and something to keep in mind. Like, so even for me, right, like I saw Ben Shapiro's retweet of Candace Owens, left some little snarky comment on Twitter and posted us in dresses. But the reality is, and something that even I should remember, is I wear a dress once a year as part of a video. It is, as you said, it's not part of my daily life. It's not part of my daily expression. It's certainly not a part of my expression of my sexual or gender identity. And there is a line where us as the straights can do what we can to help normalize these things. But really, this conversation is not about us. It's not about Harry, as you pointed out. It's about protecting the people that this is actually part of their lives and broadening this notion of what it means to just be a human being so that everyone can live comfortably and feel safe.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to condemn like what your response was or what many people's response was like, oh, I'm a man, I'm comfortable in a dress, mm-hmm. here's a picture. I think that's totally fine because in the end, unfortunately,
it's part of it.
It takes the majority, which is straight identifying people,
the straighties,
to be more open and to be more empathetic and to be more informed. What really sucks is that, and this is the thing that I've been guilty of too, is when someone like Ben Shapiro says that shit, the way you dunk on him is by dunking on his masculinity. You know, you're like, mm-hmm. you're like 5'3". I mean, he looks like a little putz who could not even like,
he sucks.
He can't, you would beat him in a boxing match, Zach. You would fucking destroy him. It's one of those things where, again,
but that's such a but everyone's like celebrating version that. Of masculinity.
But again,
yeah,
we
like,
are dunking on other people.
Yeah.
People were dunking on Candace for her ends. Like, it was just sort of this thing where we get it. We it's so easy. It's there.
Yeah.
But it certainly is like, how does then trashing, you know, his height, his physical strength.
Yeah, it's the same way as like
we are literally just engaging in the same conversation where it's a who has the bigger balls, and it's sort of we're literally just playing in the same toxic masculine pool. And I think in the end, people were defending Harry not only listen, people were then defending Harry by saying like, you realize how much like how many girls he can pull. You realize he's like fucking, and also he's beautiful. He's fit. He is literally
he's tatted up.
He seems nice.
Yeah, I mean, and this is, again, Harry is like an innocent player in this because he's literally just living his life. Yeah. But again, the way we dunk on others is by saying like, Harry is a more masculine specimen than you.
Right.
So it's sort of, the whole conversation just annoyed me because I was just like.
It centers it back on their antiquated definition.
It literally centers
it
back on, look at you. Oh. You're a little shrimp. Harry's a fucking god. I mean, Harry is literally a god. I am so attracted to Harry, but I just think it's one of those things. I don't want to get into that part, but.
Maybe we should.
But it's just one of those things where I'm just like, God, it's so tired because in the end, none of this conversation got anywhere.
Two things can be true at the same time. Ben Shapiro can be a pathetic little shrimp, and we can also choose to take the high road and not talk about it.
But it's so hard because they took the low road. They took the lowest road. So you want to fight low roads with low roads. So it's just, once I saw it start, I was just like, man, I heard this since I was on the playground as a kid.
Yeah.
And I don't need to like balls the wall. Like, you know, I don't need to quote unquote man up against them. It's just like, that's so tired. And I think that's why a lot of queer people were just so tired of the conversation right when it started. So it's tough.
It's a tough conversation, but you know what? I got a new segment.
New segment.
I got a new segment for us. This segment is called What's on Miles' Desk? Because I'm at Miles' desk and I'm looking around and there's some things that don't belong here. Let's start with, what do you guys think I wouldn't find on Miles' desk? Don't look at it.
This is a hard... What would I not expect?
How many razor blades do you think are on Miles' desk? Go.
Certainly any more, even I'd say one exposed razor blade is too many, but one seems to be a limit of how many razor blades a young boy like Miles would
get. Okay, Eugene, guess. Don't look.
Wait, like for shaving?
No.
Wait.
No, not for shaving.
What are the type of razor blades are there?
There's a kind for like box openers.
Oh. No,
is this the long kind that goes in a box cutter, or is it like the little flat rectangle one that you put?
We're going to find out.
I'm going to say six.
Six. Okay.
I just don't want to believe. Like, I know the answer is more than one because you wouldn't have asked the question. But like, obviously, I know how games work. Okay. But there should not be more than one.
Okay. He's got two.
Okay.
He's got two X-Acto knives, and this one's exposed. This one's open. I almost grabbed it with my hand. He almost just killed me. He's not even here. He almost just killed me.
Miles.
But these are the kind that it's going to be hard for me to find out how many there are because you got to unscrew it. But typically, you keep extra razor blades.
Oh, that's cheating.
No, it's not.
That counts as one razor blade.
Okay, that's one. Then we got at least two. We got some scissors, but one was left open. Let everybody know.
So the answer's two?
Two.
The answer's two. Pretty fun segment so far, huh? Okay, what else? Let's see. What else we got here? We got a light bulb. Didn't expect that. We got a tape measure. We're going to play the old classic game.
How
far can I get it to Zach?
We just want to prove that we are social distancing here in the studio. How far away?
This shot is really funny.
Keep it coming.
I know.
You're going to get it, and then you're going to have to switch cameras, Keith.
I know.
So that when it comes into my camera.
Did you guys ever play this? We used to play this.
Well, bring it to
after,
me.
I'm working on it. It's got to be gentle, bro.
Well, you're going so far up in the air.
Yeah, because it needs to be Steve vertical. If it goes horizontal, it's definitely going to snap.
He's a pro. He's done this before.
Yeah, it's called How Long Can Your Dick Get?
That's
you pretend that the tape measure is your dick.
God, your dick is huge right now.
Almost there.
Come on.
It's going
to
collapse.
Now you have to switch cameras.
Well, it's not in the camera yet.
Well, but then it will.
Okay, I'm going to the camera.
Okay. Now bring it to me.
Okay, it's coming in the camera. Oh. For the audio only listeners, is certainly.
All right, we have the tape slowly lowering. It's not far enough.
Wait, hold on. I got to switch to Eugene's camera.
Yeah, wrong camera.
Pretty fucking fun.
It snapped.
Pretty fucking fun.
That scared me.
Wow, that was fun. Wow. Well, that has been What's on Miles' Desk. Tune in next week for another one, because we're shooting two episodes today, because next week is obviously Thanksgiving and we have the half of the week off. So we are recording two today. Spoilers! What you listen to next week is the same as what you listen to today.
But we're going to change our shirts to pretend it's different. Look, oh God. Okay, there's no way to do this without just diving into it. Guys, COVID's bad.
Is bad.
It's really bad right now.
It's bad.
And I think that we have developed this collective numbing, myself included.
Yeah.
Like, I have been terrified of COVID. I want to say, like, I was a COVID hipster before it was cool. As an immunosuppressed person, I was terrified of this. You know, I put myself in lockdown before, and even I now, as the months have gone on, have gotten very lax. I'm seeing more friends. My bubble is expanding. The cases right now across the U.S. are the worst it's ever been. It's the worst since the summer. I don't want to butcher his name. Give me one second.
Did you know? I got a fun fact. Well, it's not very fun.
Go ahead.
But in L.A., if you have a gathering of 10 people or more, your chances of catching the coronavirus are 12%.
No kidding.
It is a 12% likelihood that somebody in your party...
Here in California.
Here in L.A. specifically. In L.A. There was data for each major city.
Which is not close to the worst in the country right now.
No, but like that's
the worst
bad.
In the Midwest isn't it?
Yeah. That's 1 out of 10. So if you have people there, 1 out of 10 of them has a 12% chance of... So the math's a little weird, but that's still way more likely than anything you've probably done. Like in terms of like, and that's just because of the amount of cases there are. The likelihood that out of 10 people at your house, one of them has it is 12%, which is pretty intense.
Look, I know you're sick of hearing about this. You're sick of thinking about this. You want just a semblance of normalcy. You want to go see your family. You want to see your friends. It's a holiday. Something that I heard this morning really chilled me to my core. I was listening to this guy, Dr. Abdul Al-Sayed, and he said that this moment right now, what we're living through and what we're about to live through, when historians look back on COVID, this is the moment that they're going to talk about. Not what we went through, not May, not the summer. This is when shit is going to get bad.
Oh, no.
And so what we do right now is going to matter a lot. It is going to decide how many people live and how many people die. And a lot of people are going to die who do not need to die. So as you're looking forward to the holidays, Thanksgiving, and Christmas beyond, I know you want to spend this Thanksgiving with your friends, with your family. It's a lot more important that you spend the next several holidays with your family. And unfortunately, if you do not have the ability, I get it. There are ways around this. If you want to quarantine for 2 weeks and not see anybody and then go see your grandparents because you really miss them, like social interaction is important.
There's ways to do it, but you aren't probably doing it.
No, and if you're just going for a 3-day visit into, you know, to see your family in the Midwest and then come, like, it's just such a huge fucking risk you're taking on. Ugh.
I blame the capitalism. And the government. And here's why. Because a lot of places are like, we're going to close down after Black Friday. They're like literally.
Oh, man.
Like, no, don't close it down until after we make all our money. Make sure everybody can buy all the shit they need to buy in the mall. And then we'll close it down. And then we'll open it up again for Christmas. Because people had their Christmas. And I really think it's like, it's all kind of fucked up. Because it shouldn't be open now. Even like, and you will see, and after these two podcasts, we may be going back to remote podcasting just for our own safety and also to remind other people that it's serious and you have to be cautious. But it's like, it shouldn't have been open. It could be over so simple, but nobody wants to do that because they're all afraid of their, like, the dollar, losing that dollar. And it's like you close for 2 months straight. You give everybody money. You make sure everybody has a means to have food and water for 2 months and everybody stays at home. And then you go outside and it's all good again. You can kill the virus just by, like, not meeting other people.
It's just so fucking simple.
It's simple.
It's right there.
But it's the problem is that, like, how can we expect someone in Iowa to give a shit if their local government's like, no, bars are open, don't fucking worry about it.
Well, how can we expect anyone in the country, anyone anywhere, to be told, hey, you cannot, it's too dangerous for you to go spend this holiday with your family. Oh, but it's not too dangerous for you to keep working at your store. Oh, no, right. That's fine.
And your kids should go to school. And they need to go into the school. And you should go to work. And you can eat outside in a pretty densely packed outside, which LA has been very guilty of. Especially there were places near me when I lived in Los Feliz that I would see, and I would drive by, and these people are not 6 feet apart. These people are almost touching
chair to chair,
back to back. This person is probably hitting this other person many times throughout the meal because they're closer than I've ever seen people seated at that restaurant outside. I've never seen so many people actually outside of this restaurant, the density. And then you're people just walk by on the sidewalk, right? We can't quarantine against those people. They're just random strangers walking by you, breathing at you. Don't do it.
Yeah, I think the most you can try to do is convince your family to keep it under 10. Trying to think of active ways someone
keep
could
it under
help.
Eight, keep it under six,
because at least half of Americans are planning to try to go to to holidays. If you're traveling for the holidays to see your family, there is a risk. So I think it's just the big thing is make sure you're safe when you're traveling. Try to get everyone tested in some way, and try to convince your family to keep whatever party you have under 10 people.
And
at the very least,
and keep your masks on.
Keep the masks on.
Especially if you're going to be inside in a small room and you actually, and no one really social distance and nobody has a COVID test recently and no one's been doing proper things, keep your mask on. Try to sit on opposite sides of your room, set up little tables, and then put your mask back on after that. I know it sucks, but you know what else sucks? Dying. Going to a hospital for four weeks or more, living forever with complications that we don't fully understand from a global pandemic. It's going to be bad. And also, it's fucking flu season too. And all this time, what's really annoyed me about people who are COVID deniers is people being the flu is just as bad. It kills this many people.
It doesn't.
It doesn't. And B, it still will kill people. Just because we have a new virus doesn't mean the flu also isn't going to happen. Now, the flu season might be less because a lot of the vulnerable people to the flu have already died from the coronavirus, which is incredibly sad and horrifying. But just because there's one new sickness doesn't mean all the other sicknesses disappear. Now we're living with both.
I really don't know that we in good conscience can recommend that anybody travel to see their family for just Thanksgiving. If you don't have the ability to quarantine and social distance for a decent amount of time, you really unfortunately can't rely on just tests. We had an incident here in our office, not someone who was COVID positive, but it just showed me how fragile these systems are. And you think you have this super safe bubble, but if one person goes outside that bubble, now everyone is vulnerable. It is too perilous right now. And you do not want to make the decision, the instantaneous decision that puts someone that you love in harm's way. I think we can take a moment to say, we see your pain right now. Yeah. This is incredibly hard. It has been this relentless year, and it feels like this thing is endless, and it's frustrating, and I fucking get it. I'm sick of it, and I think that we have it better than most. Mm-hmm. We get to see each other. Mm-hmm. We get to still, have this tether to the outside world.
We have jobs.
That's, yeah. Case in point.
Huge one.
And it really sucks. I don't think that we have had people from the top, especially our government, acknowledge that enough to acknowledge the pain that we are going through. I get why you want a holiday, something that seems like normal, a connection to your community and to your family and to tradition. I get it. And I am sorry, if no one else will say it, we are sorry that this year sucks.
Yeah.
But for your good, for the good of your family, for your community, for your country, for the world, please make smart decisions.
But it will take an intense amount of unity around agreeing that we will do something about it to even have the chance of having a summer again. Because we all thought, we'll be done by June. We'll be done by October. We'll be done by Christmas. We'll be done by Easter. Well, it won't be done until everybody does it. And I would love the, I'm honestly going to a music festival scares the shit out of me now, but I loved that. I think the hardest thing is that we don't have things to look forward to. And I think that people probably were looking forward to Thanksgiving, and Christmas is something that they could look forward to. And it, unfortunately, it's not going to work out, safely this year, but we have to, I don't know, we have to work toward a goal of things being safe again, And we just can't do that unless everybody agrees to do it.
So I guess this is like, I'm curious, you know, Thanksgiving is 1 week away. We are staunchly saying you can't do traditional Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. So what can people do? I'm putting us on the spot. I don't have an answer for this. But what is an alternative that will at least be fun?
I definitely think that the most safe thing you can do is be with people you're already exposed to. So like having a couple over, like if you and Maggie were in town, then maybe we would have Thanksgiving together, right? But that's one thing, to make sure you are tested if you're going to do something. And actually, you have to get tested after, basically you have to, if you encountered somebody, you got to quarantine and then test and then stay quarantined. That's how an efficient test actually works.
You kind of just have to assume that the test is wrong.
You kind of have to assume it's wrong. And honestly, you really have to like quarantine, get tested to totally know. And that sucks. And also, there's not a lot of places, like we are lucky in Los Angeles and California that you can just get a test often the same day and you'll get your results the next day. We have the best infrastructure, I think, in America.
I'm going
testing.
To Dodger Stadium at this afternoon.
Yeah, because it's you can.
Home of the champs.
And that's great. And like, how about that? I forgot all about that. it's almost like it didn't happen. But like, not everybody can do that. So the only way you can know if you don't have rapid testing available is to just not see anybody. And if you get any sniffles, you just have to be like, well, I guess that's that. I can't do it. And it's the fall. It's the winter. You're going to get the sniffles. So there's really no... I mean, it's tough. I struggle with it. It makes me very sad. I love hosting meals and seeing people and having fun.
Because you get joy from cooking for others, which is something that's foreign to me. That's I get pure anxiety for cooking for others.
I don't know. What's your love language thing? eating and bringing joy to other people through food, or like hosting or creating a fun activity for people to do, like that gives me joy. It gives me joy to give other people joy.
Here's an idea.
That is my favorite thing.
Cook a bunch of food, drop it off at the food bank. I mean, every single year there's obviously homeless people that need a home.
That's a good idea.
It's getting worse and worse. Yeah. We have a huge homelessness spike in this country, and there are a lot of people who not only don't have a place to spend Thanksgiving, don't have a place to sleep, don't have a way to be fed. So maybe you can put some of that energy towards helping feed others.
Teach your family how to Zoom.
Teach your family how to Zoom. Or
teach your family how to use
Google Meet or
video chat.
FaceTime.
You'd be surprised. You should try to get your parents and your grandparents and whoever you like during the holidays usually see to learn how to use that on their computer or on their phone. Or get them
Facebook
to,
has
get them
a
access
video
for
messenger.
That.
You know they're on that platform.
I finally got my mom to learn. We finally got her to learn this year after my stepfather passed, and it has been great to be able to see her while we talk.
Yeah.
So, you know, schedule those. Schedule those in advance.
And get your family to play a Zoom game. I personally find, my mom loves scheduling these like 10-person, all family hands-on Zooms, and no one knows when to talk. So I just end up like saying muted the whole time, and it's just like one person. One-on-one Zooms are great, but 14-on-1 is a nightmare.
They're crazy.
But every family, there's one game that everyone can find. So maybe it's a Jackbox game. Maybe doing Quiplash. Maybe doing Drawful. Mm-hmm. Maybe you do Code Names. Maybe your dad likes Among Us
with your family.
I am trying to get my family to do it. I'd be thrilled. A little Catan action. Like, there are a lot of games that you can play that have online versions that are dope.
That's true.
I don't know. As I'm saying that, I'm trying to imagine you playing a game with your mom. I don't know.
No, my mom would be lost. Or she'd be incredible. I don't know.
I think she'd be good at
Among
Us.
There's one game, though, for every mom.
But if you kill me, Eugene, I will disown you.
Oh, yeah. She had this habit after her husband died where if I disagreed with her while I was in Korea for the funeral, she would look at me straight in the eyes and said, I fed you with my tits.
I love this story.
And she used the Korean version of the word tit. She wasn't even boob. She was kind of the dirty. I don't remember, but I just knew immediately that she did not say like the medical version. That she was not having it. So she would be very funny once the older people, a lot of them just are, there's just a tech thing. The big thing is once you teach them something, make sure they know where to center themselves in frame. Because many of them really enjoy hovering at the very bottom of a frame.
Yeah, they're looking at you and not thinking about you look themselves.
They don't look at themselves.
Yeah. Very different from how I use Zoom. I'm always looking at myself.
Oh my God.
Look how hot I am.
I think everyone literally isn't there a study like 99% of the time you're just looking at yourself in a video chat?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I believe it. You know, this is some good advice for the holidays, but you know, we always have advice segments here on this, and luckily, Miles has sent us some advice to read. But
I just texted it to you, Eugene.
It would be best if Eugene, you could give us some advice that would go for Miles. Could you do that?
Oh, so I'll say advice? Yeah.
Is advice that'll go for Miles. Tune into your radio station. Wait, cold read it, Eugene. I don't want you to read ahead.
Go for Miles.
Everybody ready, Niles Nation. Is advice that'll go for... Device that'll go for Miles.
With your host, Eugene.
I know what you're thinking. I'm not doing his faces, though. I'm just doing the voice. Miles isn't here this week, so the advice is going to stop. Right?
That was like Scooby-Doo.
That was.
Right? Wrong! Have you ever wanted to stand so hard you essentially work for the guy?
Oh, stand. I think I said stand.
Have you ever wanted to be in the presence of a king?
I hate knowing that Miles actually writes these.
With the vibes of a queen?
How did he spell queen?
Yes, queen with a K. Yes. Whip out your iPhone 4S Plus, go onto the Google Marketplace, download Instagram, and peep Eugene's account.
Wait, what?
So many photos of the number one try guy in the group all in one place. And in terms of dogs, this guy's got some dogs. Feast your eyes on the pictures of yesteryear. And while you're at it, maybe toss a follow to some of the other people in Eugene's wheelhouse. Maybe some of the employees who work on the podcast. Now that's what I call a spicy meatball.
Wow.
He just said to go follow Eugene?
Yeah.
I think he said to go follow Miles via...
Yes. Go check out Eugene's account.
But don't follow him. Then go look at who he's following, and maybe there's a gremlin.
Yeah, maybe there's a cool guy that also has a dog. It's on his Instagram. You can go see. He's got a
Miles
cute
has a dog. It's cute.
He's got a cute dog.
I'm so excited. I want to touch the doggy.
It does look fluffy.
It looks cute. It looks fluffy.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe. Well, I guess we're not in time to always be in the office. We're not in the office, so I might have to find a way to go to Miles' place to touch that dog.
We need Miles to just bring the dog. Miles, if you're listening, which you are because you're editing this, even though you're still not here, please bring us the dog.
Bring the dog.
I want you to claim your place as having the true birdie so that Keith is forced to call his cat Bartha.
If you had just waited a couple weeks, you could have instead gotten my outside cat,
which
would have
true.
Been nice. Cats are easy, but I don't know how easy this cat will be.
So Miles' advice is social media.
Social media.
You guys saw Fleets on Twitter this week.
Oh, boy.
Twitter's adding stories. We don't need to have a conversation.
Hey, you know what, though? I got to say, they nailed the name.
You think so?
Yeah, it's fleeting.
Fleet. I mean, I don't think it rhymes with tweet. It mm-hmm. is a fleeting mm-hmm. moment. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't think they could have come up with a better name other than maybe Fleep.
Fleep.
Send a Fleep.
Listen, it was
sleeping.
Wasn't it Snapchat did it first?
Snapchat, yeah.
And then
Instagram.
Eventually Instagram did it.
And then Facebook.
LinkedIn
which is
did
Instagram.
It. LinkedIn has it.
Secretly.
I didn't realize that. I don't use LinkedIn. But people,
which is like, what are you...
LinkedIn Hive is...
What are you storying, snapping on LinkedIn that you want your like professional connections to see?
Oh, I just took a great workshop. I'm pretty skilled now. I learned a lot of new skills. I'm very good at Excel now.
A fleet of my PowerPoint presentation.
I'm just so sick of the internet just homogenizing into one glob. I want my internet to be different.
Unique.
I want to have different places to go. And also Twitter is like the stories. It feels too intimate for who I follow on Twitter. It's not what I want there.
Twitter
I don't want to know
for news and jokes.
I want your brain and I want your snarky comedy. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see your face.
I'm it's here really for not your, the place for looks.
I don't, I'm not, that's not why I'm on Twitter. I'm there for your juicy brain.
Unless you're in porn.
You can do. There's a lot of porn on Twitter.
There's a lot of porn on Twitter.
There's a lot of porn on Twitter. Right,
so I love it. I'm always like surprised when I open up someone's response to something and I'm like, that's porn.
Were you ever Tumblr dudes? Because that was like, oh my God, there's so much porn.
Oh, so much porn.
It was
Tumblr.
Like, whoa, all of a sudden you're scrolling through and there's, whoa. Yeah.
You know what's very funny for me is that...
Yeah.
Remember? I don't remember her actual name, the eyebrows on fleek girl.
Yeah.
Well, when I made that basic video forever ago about eyebrows on fleek, I learned about what fleek meant. I followed her on Twitter, right? I still follow her on Twitter. And every so often, she just retweets a naked black man with a huge penis. And it's a great fun, like, surprise on my Twitter feed. And she'll, not every day, just sometimes, there's just a hot, sexy, beefy, naked black man. And, like, that's become very normal for me. Twitter's an amazing place.
I'm just seeing some.
What do you guys think about that?
Surprise dick.
It's a surprise. I was very surprised the first time it happened. Less surprised every subsequent
time. Can you be naked in a fleet?
Let's find out.
I'm just curious. I'm curious about the rules.
That went through my mind as well. Do they have the same, like, all's fine attitude with the videos? Because you can upload a video on Twitter of you fucking...
Yep. You can.
And then what is, right? Because I've seen, like, not again, surprise dick on my timeline, but like, I've seen video of dudes just like jerking it on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
And well, I guess anything goes.
Anything goes.
I mean, typically, I believe if you work in porn or you're a sex worker, you put like XXX in your handle. I think it's like a convention at the very least.
Vin Diesel's allowed to post whatever he wants.
No, but I don't know.
You put something in there.
I'm not an expert. I don't know the rules. I just have a lot of friends who have a lot of friends who are in porn. Uh-huh. So I see a lot of the posts, which certainly if you're not looking for that, you don't want it. Not a fun experience, but it is a great, it is a pretty vibrant community of people being able to share that type of content. So I was curious if you're allowed to do that in a fleet, because that seems like a place that you can't do that in Instagram.
That's what makes it a fleet.
You certainly can't do that in LinkedIn.
I cannot believe that I forgot about this.
What?
So we were doing an Among Us night, Keith and some other friends, with our friend Lauren from Lore DIY, and she brought up that Trisha Paytas, who we don't talk about, who cares,
boy.
That she posts on her Twitter a ton of photos and videos of her squirting. It became this whole conversation about squirting. What is it? I'm sure you love hearing me say this and hearing me talk about it.
What a horrible word.
I think it's delightful. Context. It's one of my favorite sodas, squirt. She then brought up as her Zoom background a ton of photos from her timeline, including one where Trisha is dressed as Borat in the green bikini. In the Borat bathing suit with a mustache, fully naked, engaging in the soda that I just named.
Oh,
it is the funniest thing that I had ever seen. My body was broken from laughing. Porn has never been so funny, and it has made me realize that porn has the capacity to be funnier than any joke that I will ever tell.
Yeah, we knew that. Didn't you know? Like, porn acting is so funny.
It
is funny.
It was a moment of intense clarity for me.
Yeah, I'm not going to get into my proclivities, but I think, like...
we don't have time. Maybe next week.
There's literally a knockoff of any, like, tentpole mainstream hit in media, like Avengers. Once Marvel went off, there's like a million superhero porns. They are so funny. I sometimes like just like watching the acting scenes. I don't even want to watch the porn.
Maybe we should do a future episode where we have listeners send us their favorite comedy porn scenes and we'll just watch them.
I mean,
you'll get to hear us react.
The most funny is the one that went...
Pretty good idea.
It's not a bad idea. I don't know if it's a good idea, but it's not a bad idea.
The most funny from the gay porn world is really In Front of My Salad.
That's so good. You know, it's
hilarious. Yeah. I know. Not In Front of My Salad.
Tell the people.
Long story short, a woman is eating a salad in a kitchen, like at the kitchen bar, and her friend is, cooking with his friend. His friend takes off his pants under the apron, and they start engaging in coitus in front of her, but she's still eating her salad and just kind of hanging out, just kind of like talking. And then at some point, she realizes what's happening, which surprisingly, this is a setup for many gay porns where it's just like a girl, either the like wife or a friend who's just hanging out and then suddenly realizes it's happening. And then it's just like, I gotta go. And so in this one, her exit line is really in front of my salad. And then she leaves with her salad. And then the actual pornographic scene commences. But the setup is so funny. And I find so much delight in the weirdest setup. It's always just like a girlfriend who's just hanging out and being like, oh, okay, so this is happening. Great, gotta go. And that weirdly lifted my mood.
2021, let's bring laughter back to sex. It's so serious. Porn's so serious. People having sex are like, ooh, I'm so hot. Let's laugh a little. It's supposed to be fun.
I agree.
If you're not cracking jokes during your coitus, you're doing it wrong.
That's right.
You need to have a backup. Back pocket knock knock joke that you throw down right when you're in the heat of the moment.
That will never work in real life.
Oh. Knock knock. Who's there? Me. Me. I'm here, baby. I'm here.
Wait a minute. Try guys recreate porn setup scenes.
That's pretty good.
Just like the actual scripts. Just the scripts of the setups of like the most famous, hilarious scenes going into a scene.
Mm-hmm.
I'm into that.
That's yeah.
Try guys recreate iconic porn cutscenes.
Yeah. So we do not in front of myself.
Oh, hi, Rachel.
Okay,
hi, Rachel.
That's gotta be the end of this one.
Mom's home.
We gotta stop talking about porn. So this has been a great episode of the podcast. And we're talking about boy stuff, Mom.
We wanted to differentiate ourselves from You Can Sit With Us because Keith was talking about the cat. So we're like, what can we do that's
it's
unique?
My story, too. And they have a totally different audience from us. They get more views, so they have to have some different audience.
We'll see you next time. Rachel being here really threw me off. I feel like we just got caught. Like we're like up, we're up past our bedtime.
Well, no, the Try Guys are not gonna try porn. That'd be great. We couldn't even release it on YouTube.
That energy was literally like when your mom catches you watching porn when you're 12.
No.
What were you saying? Oh no, I was saying corn. Try guys recreate corn.
I thought
corn.
It was about a bunch of idiots. You know how sometimes you're like, don't be such a boob. But I thought it would be idiots doing funny stuff.
Keith, hit us with the tripod theme song.
Try guys are gonna try porn. Try guys are gonna try porn. On the tripod. What is the stick of the tripod? You'll find out in the Try Guys Try Porn on the tripod.